The following message, personal testimony, was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, on Sunday, January 24, 2016, by Doug Sarver, a member of Grace Baptist Church, Canton, Michigan.
Well, good morning. It's certainly a blessing and a privilege to be with you and to fellowship with you today, and I want to just express my appreciation and thanks for your willingness to give me this opportunity to share with you from God's Word. And I do bring you greetings from Pastor Cook and the saints at Grace in Canton, Michigan. We do pray for you and have been praying especially for Pastor Martin in these days especially, and will continue to do so. And it's good to be with some new friends in Christ this morning and to get to know you a little bit. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12. First couple of verses in Isaiah 12. As I attempt to share with you a little of my testimony and my journey of God's sovereign grace in my life this morning. But Isaiah says, verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 12, he says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." You remember that Jonah declared in chapter 2 and verse 9, salvation is from who? From the Lord. And David, the psalmist, said in the 27th Psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And if you'll turn with me to Psalm 62, verse 5, starting with verse 5. Psalm 62, beginning with verse 5. There the psalmist says, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God." Well, where did this all begin for me? How did I come to realize my need of salvation? How is it that the Lord God has become my salvation? Well, I might say it goes back to the 1970s, where as a young child attending a vacation Bible school, I came to trust Christ for my salvation. There was a response in my heart and life to the message of the gospel and its free offer even to boys and girls to come to Him and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And that happened there. I realize. But why? Why did this little boy respond and others didn't? Why is it that He had become my salvation? I might say that being raised in a Christian home, attending the services of the church from infancy played a part. I might say growing up on a farm where all labor ceased on the Lord's Day except for milking the cows and feeding the livestock. Sunday was a different day and that played a part. But why? Why was I born to Christian parents in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1962? Why was it that my mother, born into an unbelieving home, as one of seven children, came to know Christ as a young person and met my dad through a church youth conference. It comes back to those two words that we find in Scripture, but God. But God. But God was at work. God brought together my parents, who grew up 40, 50 miles apart. What were the chances that they would meet? My dad, a farm boy from out in the country. My mom, a city girl. But God. And only God. And then how did I end up in Northwest Ohio in the 1970s, 3 hours away from the farm where my dad had grown up? It was not a likely scenario. But God had intervened and prompted my parents to strike out on their own and to move far away from family and buy a farm in Ohio. Why? Because God had a plan. And God was working things out. Because it was in Northwest Ohio that God would intervene in my life, my sinful life as a child, and bring salvation to my soul. It was there that I would learn much from my experiences growing up in a little country church where I would hear the saints praying from week to week. It was there that God sent us a pastor who encouraged involvement in a Christian camping program, where I was challenged to greater consecration and what it meant to be a Christian and to live for Jesus Christ. And it was there that I would develop friendships with other Christian young people. It was there that God intervened and confirmed in my heart His calling on my life to the Christian ministry. And it was from there that I would go on and attend our small denominational college in Huntington, Indiana, and get training for the ministry. And I would continue working at that Christian camp through college and counseling and leading other young people, gaining experience in leadership and in ministry as I continued training to serve the Lord. And then that little country church there on the state line between Ohio and Michigan would eventually recognize God's calling on my life and license me as a minister of the gospel to preach His word. God was at work each step of the way. And then when I completed my education for ministry and I was blessed to serve under a godly and such a prayerful senior pastor, I was a youth pastor for a couple of years, and then I was ordained as an elder in the church. Now I face temptations, failures, struggles, trials through those years of growing up and as a young person. And yet God was at work in my life. And He had a purpose in His sovereign will and in His plan. He had ordained that I would be placed exactly where I was at just the right time, just as He does for each of us. When you read in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 and 27, it's speaking of the destruction of Assyria, yet here we have the truth of God's sovereignty in our lives as well. Let's look at those verses, Isaiah 14, 24 and 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. In verse 27, for the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for His stretched out hand, who can turn it back? It was not by chance I was serving as an associate pastor in Hillsdale, Michigan, for it would be here, through a connection with an area Christian school, that I would meet a young lady named Carol, who would become my wife. I was at the right place at the right time. And God brought it to pass. He was fulfilling and carrying out His purposes. And we would be married in Hillsdale, just a half hour from where we both grew up in Northwest Ohio and Southern Michigan. We would be married, and then we would move to Blissfield, Michigan to pastor our first church. Newlyweds in the fields of bliss, we called it. Blissfield. And we began ministry together 28 years ago now. And God, in His kindness to us, took us to a little country church with lots of families and young kids and older saints as well that loved us and prayed for us and supported us as we were starting out in the ministry in those early years. God was good. And He was still at work bringing about some vital and significant change in my life, in my thinking theologically. The church that I had grown up in and was pastoring in was largely Arminian in their theology and background, and that was my whole mindset. And it wasn't anything explicitly stated in that denomination that they were Arminian, but that was the reality. But God in His grace brought a fellow pastor who was just starting out in ministry as I was into our conference of churches, somebody outside that came into pastor, and we became good friends and began to fellowship and share together. And he wasn't from the same background I was from. And God used him to begin to open my mind to the truths of the Scriptures that I hadn't seen before, and I hadn't understood. He drugged me off to a Banner of Truth conference, and we began to hear other preaching from men like John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul, and God was working. Only God. We soon moved on after 6 years in Blissfield to pastoring two churches, two small rural churches in Northwest Ohio, back near where we grew up. And during those years, God had blessed us with three children by now in the years at Blissfield. And we moved and started dragging a family of five between two churches. And we'd get up and get everybody in the car and go over to the one church and preach at 9 o'clock and then leave there and go to the second church and preach at the other church and back and forth. And again, a wonderful opportunity. God was at work. And the two churches wanted to retain their own identities in these little railroad towns that they'd been in for 100 years. But they worked together. They supported us and loved us. We continued to serve the Lord in those years. And the kids were a blessing to the work that God had called us to. And soon our last two children, Miriam and Lydia, came along and were born in those years as well. Total of five kids now. The Lord had blessed us with as a family, serving Him in ministry. And during these years as well, God was at work molding us and shaping us and helping us through difficulty as well. We face loss. Some really tough losses, as many of us do in this pilgrim journey. The year before Carol and I were married, my brother Andy died in a tragic death. He drowned. He had just graduated from high school. He's planning to go on to college. Loved the Lord, was serving the Lord. And our family faced that great loss. Oh, brother. By the time we had moved to Ohio to pastor, my wife's brother was diagnosed with leukemia. Battled leukemia, lost the battle, and we lost David. A few years later, something happened I never would have dreamed would happen. After going through the death of one brother, I got a call, and my dad said, your brother Tim was in an accident. He didn't make it. We lost a second brother. I lost a second brother. Wow. Hard to face. And yet, God was at work doing what He desired in our lives to help us and to mold us and to shape us. And He faithfully sustained us and helped us and our families through those difficult times. But God is the blessed controller of all things, was working, showing us His plan and His will for us. So during these times, I find myself continuing to learn more of the doctrines of grace and Reformed theology. And I'll never forget, I was preaching, and I was standing in the Kunkel Church pulpit one morning, and I was preaching, and I don't know that I was necessarily preaching from Ephesians 2, but I have referenced Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, those familiar verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm standing there preaching, and it hits me. Faith is the gift of God. It's not anything I do. I had this confused mindset that grace was what God does and faith is what we do. But as I preached that morning, it's all the gift of God, isn't it? Praise God. It's all the gift of God. Only God could bring me to understand His sovereign grace, and He has, and He continues to do so. And I certainly praise Him for it. So we ministered for 6 years in Ohio. And it just got to be kind of a heavy burden trying to balance ministry with two churches and two leadership in two different churches and going back and forth, and it'd be good if we could just focus on one. And began to consider what God might have for us. And so we began to seek where the Lord might have us to go. And again, God intervened. He did something that I would never, ever in my life have ever dreamed. A fellow pastor came to our church for a presentation. And before the service, he said, Doug, the pastor of my home church has just died. Or had died, I guess it was. I don't remember now exactly the time frame. But he said he died. He was out playing ball with some of the young people, had a heart attack, and the Lord took him home. Would you be interested, Doug, in pastoring my home church in the city of Detroit, Michigan? And I thought, Detroit? You've got to be kidding. This farm boy? What? I'd never dreamed of pastoring a church in really any size of city, let alone Detroit, Michigan. But God, right? But God. Wasn't in my plans, but it was in God's plans. God was fulfilling His purposes. And that summer of 1999, Carol and I and our two oldest children, Joanna and Nathan, went on a long bike trip. It's called Palm, Pedal Across Lower Michigan. And we started on the west coast of Michigan, on Lake Michigan, and pedal, I don't know, between 30 and 50 miles each day, all the way across the state of Michigan, over to Lake Clair, which is just south of Lake Huron, over on the east side of the Detroit area. We pedaled all across Michigan, and pedaling all those miles across Michigan, we were praying, Lord, do you really want us to go to Detroit? And the Lord confirmed in our hearts and our minds His calling for us to move to Detroit. I knew pedaling across the state that summer, because I had met with some people from the church and had talked with the situation, the leadership there, I knew that there were some big problems in the church there. It would have been very easy to say, no, this isn't for me. It was unbiblical leadership and some things that had to be dealt with. But God confirmed in our minds and our hearts that we were to go. And so in August of 1999, we began serving Christ on the west side of the city of Detroit and served in the church there for 10 years. And yet, even though there were problems in that church, there were some dear saints who wanted to do what God had called us to do as a church and to be faithful to the Word of God. And thank God, by the time we concluded our ministry there, two of those men had been raised up to serve as deacons in the church, and biblical leadership had been established, and the church was healthy. It was smaller, and because our neighborhood, we still live in that neighborhood yet today, and because our neighborhood had changed drastically and has continued to change drastically, the church, people had died and people had moved away, the church was small and we couldn't continue on. And so about 6 years ago, we entrusted that church to a larger African-American church in the city to come and to send some people to kind of get it restarted and going again. But those two men, those two dear brothers, white brothers, are still in that church today, praise God by His grace, and they are have been set aside even as elders in that largely African-American church now where we pastored, and they're serving the Lord faithfully there. And the one dear brother's, boy, he's pushing into his upper 80s now, but he's been in that church all his life, but faithfully serving Christ. And God was at work. And we thank Him for that. What a blessing that was. So we had the blessing of those years, 10 years serving the church in Detroit. And actually it was in those years, from 1999 to 2009, earlier on in the ministry there, where God just really confirmed in my heart and my mind through His Word that the doctrines of grace and Reformed theology is biblical. And that brought about some problems for me because of the denomination that we were a part of. And I preached through the book of Ephesians, and you can't escape it, those first couple of chapters at all. And used Martin Lloyd-Jones commentaries on Ephesians, and had a glorious time preaching through that. And it was during those years that we came in contact with another pastor, and this again is how God is working things out. We came in contact with another pastor in the Detroit area who had a radio broadcast. It was a strong preacher of God's sovereign grace, and began to have some interaction with him. And he told us about Grace Baptist Church in Canton. And so we became acquainted with Grace in Canton and had some contact with the people there. We had times when our church wasn't able to have a Sunday evening service, and so sometimes we would visit Grace for a Sunday evening service when we didn't have services. And so you see, God is still at work, right? I mean, even the reason I'm here today, God's working, right? And we see what God is doing. So we were able to turn the ministry over to a different, it was Plymouth Brethren congregation that took over the church at in Detroit. And then we were able and freed up then to leave the denomination that I'd been a part of and seek out another opportunity in ministry. Well, God, in His grace, again, had a small Southern Baptist Church in the Detroit area that God had worked in their hearts and lives, and the pastor that they had faithfully preached the Word expositionally, and another situation where the pastor had died of cancer, and they were looking for a pastor, and by the time Pastor Jones died, that church said, we must have a pastor that preaches the doctrines of grace. And here were the Sarvers. And God called us there. And we served faithfully there. For the last, well, it's been 6 years ago we started there, but for 5 years we served at another Emmanuel Baptist Church in the town of Belleville, Michigan, in the Detroit area, just a half hour from where we live. So we still live in Detroit, and it's about a half hour drive to the Emmanuel Church there. Small church, and we by this time had become bivocational in the ministry. I was substitute teaching in the public schools and serving the church on a part-time basis. And so we served the Lord faithfully at Emmanuel for 5 years. And then it was a dear, dear fellowship, sweet fellowship. But we were at a crossroads because we did not have a plurality of elders. We had no deacons. It was just myself. What are we to do? We did the best that we could and faithfully served and preached and reached out to the community. But God did not add to the church. And we realized we just were not able to carry on. So once again, it was like a deja vu. What shall we do? And in God's providence, He brought another Southern Baptist pastor, a Filipino pastor in the area, had a growing congregation in a little, tiny little cracker box of a chapel of a church that was overflowing, and they needed a new facility. And we began to work with them. And so a year ago, this last fall, in September of 2014, we'd worked through a process with them and committed that ministry to the Filipino church. And so they are faithfully carrying on the work there. And some of the people that were in the church continued on with them. So now what for the Sarvers? What does God have next? We've been seeking His direction. And we thought that long before now, God would have opened up a door for us. Looked like several times we sent out resumes and had Skype interviews with churches and seeking His direction. But nothing opened up, and nothing has opened up yet as of today. So we said, where should we serve the Lord right now? We can't just kind of float around and wait for a church to open up. We need to be faithful in local church ourselves. So after visiting around a few churches in January, a year ago January, we said, we're going to make Grace in Canton our church home. And so we've been at Grace, my wife Carol and I, and our youngest daughter who's still at home, Lydia, have been serving the Lord at Grace Baptist in Canton for this past year. It's been just a wonderful blessing, a wonderful encouragement. You've met Pastor Cook. He's a faithful preacher of the Word. We've been fed. We've been blessed. And God was directed us there. I mean, we wouldn't have had to go to Grace, but that was God's plan. And He knew where we needed to be. I now no longer had ministry, and I was still substitute teaching, but I need more income because the church had faithfully supported us. For a small church of 15 to 20 people, they faithfully supported us. And especially in the summer months when there's no substitute teaching, they were able to, because they had some income from rental from a church parsonage that wasn't being used, they paid me a full-time salary for the summer months. So even with substitute teaching, when summer hit, what would I do? Well, within the first month of attending Grace, one of the brothers was talking to me, and I was telling him about, you know, substitute teaching. He says, well, Doug, you know, would you be interested in working for us? We have a project, a government project, government contract for the summer months, where we hire teachers, college students to work for the summer months. Well, God provided, didn't He? Because this last summer 2015, I wouldn't have had anything. But God provided. And God worked in that situation through Grace. God was working, and He always is. He always is. And God provided, and it was a job doing title searches for foreclosed properties in Wayne County. That's the county that Detroit, Michigan is in. The stuff you hear about Detroit, most of it is probably true. Not all of it's true, but there are boarded up houses everywhere. Even where we live, there's two across the street and one next door. They're all boarded up, and you've got all these foreclosed properties. And you have to go through and search the titles and make sure there aren't any open interests. And that kind of. So that's what I was doing all last summer. And I am a little bit technologically challenged anyway. But God in His providence put me, my little cubicle was right next to the guy that was the leader of the project, college kid that just graduated from college. And so I was all summer, at least the first couple months, saying, Eric, what about this? Eric, what about that? And he helped me out. And God helped me to do the job and to do it well and to get two increases in pay and to get a kind of a promotion in that short summer period to do some checking of other people's work. And God just intervened and has provided each step of the way. So now we're back to the school year again. And pursued some other just secular job opportunities. Nothing opened up, so I went back to substitute teaching. And also, I deliver pizzas about three nights a week, just to get the bills paid, and God continues to provide each step of the way. And we continue to trust Him to lead us and direct us to what He wants us to do and where He wants us to serve Him in ministry. And people, it's not easy. You say, well, God, what's the purpose? What are you doing? But we know there are things that I'm learning, and my wife is learning, our family's learning as we trust Him. And in His time, He's going to open up the door where He wants us to serve Him faithfully. And if you'd be praying for us, we'd appreciate that. 2 weeks from today, we will be candidating at a church near Ithaca, New York. So we don't know whether that will be where God wants us for sure or not. But we're going to preach and to meet the people there. We've had an interview with their search committee, Skype interview, and ask some questions, and they of us, and just asking God to either confirm or once again, and we've always prayed this all along this journey, Lord, just close the doors any place we're not supposed to go. And so if that's where God wants us, that's where we want to be. And just continuing to know that He's at work. And He's been so, so very faithful. And I know all of you can testify to His faithfulness as well. And I just thank Him for what He's done. Our kids, by God's grace, our kids have all professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are serving Him, and we just give Him the praise. He's still at work in each of their lives as He is in ours as well. Our oldest daughter, Joanna, is 27. She and her husband, David, live near us, about 10, 15 minutes away from us. And they have two girls, Ava, who's 5, and Talia, who's 3, so I'm Grandpa. And third on the way, we were excited Thanksgiving. We were together for Thanksgiving. We went through a little acrostic for Thanksgiving. And what are we thankful for? It starts with T, H, you know, each letter. And we start off with T, and our son-in-law says, I'm thankful for 3. And we looked at 3. What do you mean by 3? Child number 3 is on the way. So that's how we found out. So we'll have a third grandchild sometime the 1st of June, and that's thrilling to us, of course. Then our son Nathan and his wife Emily, Nathan is 26, and his wife Emily, are out west here. They're in Boise, Idaho, and Nathan is on staff at a church there in music ministry near Boise, and they live in the city of Boise, and they're serving the Lord. No kids yet. So we need to pray for them. And then our third child, Aaron. Our son Aaron is 23. If I get my age is right, correct. And Aaron's single. And he, by God's grace, recently passed all of his exams for the CPA. And he has CPA behind his name now. So we're thankful for that. And he is in the process of purchasing his own home in right in the Detroit area there as well, and is doing well and thankful that he graduated from U of M with a finance and accounting degree, has a good job, and is working. So and all the kids. Joanna serves the Lord in her church. Her and her husband are active in their local church, and Joanna plays the piano and helps with the music ministry there. Aaron is serving in music ministry in his church and active. And then our daughter Miriam is 20, and she is in her sophomore year at Reformation Bible College in Sanford, Florida. Some of you might be familiar with the ministry of R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. And Miriam is down in Florida serving the Lord there, Reformation Bible College. She's a sacred music student there and has had opportunity to play her cello on a number of occasions at Dr. Sproul's church, St. Andrew's. And so Pastor R.C. Sproul is one of her pastors, and she's active serving the nursery and using her music there. Have any of you ever heard of RefNet? Are you familiar with RefNet at all? No, that's it's an online Christian radio ministry of Ligonier Ministries. But Miriam does when they play music, she goes through and listens to all the music that's played on RefNet to make sure that when one song ends, the next song that begins is similar to it, so it doesn't sound strange. So that's one of her little jobs that she does down there. But she's took that big step to move clear to Florida. So this morning, this Lord's Day, we have Sarvers from Florida to Seattle, Washington, across the nation this morning, serving the Lord. And we're thankful for what God's doing in Miriam's life down there. We don't get to see her, but summer, and then she was home for Christmas, of course. And then Lydia is our youngest. Lydia's 17, and she is a senior, a high school senior. Carol has faithfully, diligently homeschooled each of the kids. I think we figured this is year 23, and the end is in view for mom as far as homeschooling, but she has been a trooper. That's homeschooling all the kids has been a challenge, but very rewarding, and my wife is beyond measure in all that she has done for the kids and schooling them and helping them along. And the schooling has been a blessing too. And even there, we see God's hand, as the older kids especially. When you get into those high school years with schooling, it can be really challenging unless you're really, really advanced academically, and neither my wife nor I are. You know, you get into the chemistry and the physics and all that stuff, you know, and it's like, oh, advanced math and things. But you know, God provided, because the church in Detroit, there was a retired couple in our church in Detroit. He had his master's in botany or something like that, and she had worked in research at Children's Hospital downtown Detroit for years. And they helped us with science. Once a week, the kids would go over to George and Billy's, get help with their science, and they loved it. They loved having the kids there. And there was somebody that knew their science stuff to help them out, you know. But God, each step of the way, and he's still at work in our hearts and our lives today. It's only his grace, only his grace, only his plan that he's fulfilling. And I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I think back over my life and the areas of sin and struggle in my own heart and mind. And, you know, outwardly, I was always this good kid. This good kid. And everybody said, oh, yeah, Doug Sarvey's a good kid, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, if God hadn't intervened in my life, I could have grown up to be just a real proud little Pharisaical kid, the church kid and everything, you know. But God intervened and showed me my sin. Showed me my need of him. And I didn't understand it all, you know, back as a little kid in Bible school. I didn't have an understanding of my total depravity and all the things, you know. But there was a starting point. And as God worked in my life, he has shown me, and he continues, as he does all of us, to teach us our total dependence upon him and upon his grace. And I really thank him and praise him for his goodness and his grace to me and to my family. And the blessing of being able to come clear out here to SeaTac Washington and preach His Word to you, dear brothers and sisters, this morning. Thank the Lord for His goodness to me. So that's a little bit about Doug Sarver, but not really about Doug Sarver, about God, what God has done. And to Him belongs all the praise and honor and glory. So, amen. Thank the Lord. You guys have any questions for this young? No, I'm not so young anymore. This older preacher from Detroit. Anything else you'd like to know? Or... It's good to be with you. What do you got?